I wanted to ask a question. How many people here love migraines or headaches? Raise your hand. Good, because if somebody would have raised your hand, I would have had to have a counseling session with you. Monday morning. Because I don't think there's anybody here that loves a migraine or a headache. And I really sympathize and pray for those that suffer it continuously, because I know that must be. I hardly get migraines. It's really rare. But when I have, my gosh, it's like, it's a bad thing. You know, and those who suffer migraines and headaches, my wife usually suffers headaches every week, and sometimes there are migraines, and I know what you're thinking. You know, it's because of you, Pastor. You're the cause of the headache. I see where your minds are going. No, it's not me. It's the devil. But we don't like, but headache and migraines, they're really, it's uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable. It doesn't let you think, doesn't let you do your work. So the reason why I asked that is that I want to ask another question, or just put this thought for you, especially those who suffer headaches and migraines. Can you imagine if aspirins wouldn't exist? That was the reaction I was waiting for. Thank God, right? Thank God for Excedrin, AM, PM, Bayer. I don't know if they still Bayer or Tylenol or whatever it is, Naproxen, all these different aspirins, right, that they sell at CVS or Walgreens or the pharmacy. Thank God for those, because they do help. Amen. They do help to alleviate that. Thank God. I mean, thank God we don't have to ever think that. Thank God that God invented aspirins. Praise God for that. Why am I sharing this? Because I want to lead to us to our verse for today. So I want us to turn to Psalms 23. And then you're going to see where this is going. So let's go to the book of Psalm and chapter 23. And I already know that off the top of the head, those who know this chapter know where we're going at. Know the verse that is. Because I think I will probably dare say it is the most popular psalm of all the psalms. There's 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. And I believe Psalms 23 is the most popular. Even people that are not believers know about this verse, because it's quoted so many times. So I want us to go to Psalms 23, and we're going to read the entire psalm. So join me as we read it, and starting off in verse 1. And it says here, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a beautiful psalm. It's poetic in nature and so much biblical truth. And what I want to talk about today is that this is definitely an encouraging psalm. One of the psalms that was read the most when 9/11 happened, remember 9/11 in New York and all around, was this psalm. This psalm was quoted a lot during that time, and usually is in a time of despair, in a time of grief, in a time of where hope is needed. And I want to put this other thought in your head, because I was meditating on this psalm, and then this thought came upon my head, and also talking with another brother in Christ. And is, can you imagine if the Lord was not your shepherd? You know? Just like the same thought we just talked about, like if you have a headache or a migraine, there was no aspirin. Imagine if the Lord was not your shepherd. And that's what I want to talk about today. That's what I like to talk about today. Like, first of all, it starts in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." Okay? One of God's characteristics, God has many characteristics. For example, when we are feeling sick, usually we pray God for healing. Why? Because the Bible says that the Lord, Jehovah, is Jehovah Rapha. Rapha is the Hebrew word for healer. The Lord is our healer. That when we're in need, and we need in our lives, then we declare God's power of provision. And we say, and we claim that the Lord is our provider. That's where that's read when Abraham was offering Isaac as a sacrifice, right? Here's another characteristic that says here that the Lord is my shepherd. And I want to teach you something small theologically when you're studying the Bible. When you read your Bibles, right, and I said, and it has the word Lord all in caps, that's very important. Because theologically, that's called, I'm going to give you a nice theological word because I paid a lot of money to study all this, okay? So I need to give it to you. No, I'm just kidding. But it's this word called the tetragrammaton. I know that sounds like a big nuclear, whatever, word or something like that. And that basically means that that's God's personal name. God has a personal name. You know, like most of my friends, my name is Isman, but my personal friends usually call me Izzy because they have that relationship with me. God's personal name is the tetragrammaton, Lord, all in caps. And usually when God would use his personal name was in a covenant. Every time God established a covenant, he would not just put Lord like L, big L and little O-R-D or just God Almighty, you know, El Shaddai. No, he would use Lord in all caps. Why? Because he's using his personal name. And also in the Hebrew tradition, actually, it was the impronounceable name of God. You can't pronounce the Lord. It's just a formality that we use because really the original way that it is written is the tetragrammaton, which is Y, capital Y, capital W, capital H, capital W. What, the Yahweh. That's where we get the word Yahweh. But in the original, there's no consonant. So it's you can't even pronounce it even if you wanted to. If you didn't have consonants in it, vowels, if you didn't have vowels in it. And I guess I don't want to get too deep in the theological part because it's really interesting. I like it. But what I just want to introduce to you is that when it says here that the Lord is my shepherd, it means that it's part of his characteristic. It's part of his nature. His nature is to be a shepherd and he signs it with his name. Like when you're going to go buy a vehicle or you're going to go buy a house, obviously you have the lengthy part is the whole signing, right? Because you're putting your name, agreeing to buy the house and commit to the payments. Well, here, God is like putting his name, saying, hey, if I said I am your shepherd, you know, I am your shepherd, right? And he uses his personal name for that. And you know what? And on the practical sense, why that is so amazing? It's because it's great to know that when you go to a specialist, they specialize in that craft, right? So in other words, if you go to like a doctor, right, whether say you have a heart condition or you have a diabetic condition or whatever, you're going to go see, for example, a cardiologist. Well, you want to make sure, right, that that cardiologist is a specialist, right, in cardiology. Because if they're not, are you going to continue to go see them? Well, most probably not. Because you're dealing with something that's very important in your life, your heart. And if your heart stops working, so you want to make sure that this cardiologist has a reputation, right, of good success and knows what he's doing. It's great to know that the reason the Lord is our shepherd because he knows how to shepherd. He knows what he's doing because God specializes, okay, in the value and in the essence of shepherding. Okay, and shepherding. And we can go into that deeply, but then we're going to get off. So keep that in mind. Then it says there, right, I shall not want. Can you imagine if God was not your shepherd? If God wasn't your shepherd, all of us will be in want all the time. And how many of us like to be in want? We don't actually. What causes stress in our lives is when there's a lack of needs. You know, when the paycheck is not coming in, or the money's not coming in, or there's health issues, right? You know, that's what usually causes like stress, right? Because the word want there in the Hebrew means lack of need, lack of need. And human beings, us as human beings, we are needy creatures. I always make fun of my little dog. I have a black pug, and it's the first time I'm messing him in a sermon, you know, because I can't stand him. No, I'm just kidding. I do. You know, but he is so needy. I mean, there's something that he likes right now. We all do it. He likes to get the back of his like tail over there scratched all the time because it's always itching. So every time he comes, he just comes, ta 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 ta, and I already know. He comes to say hi, but then he just wants to get scratched there because he likes it. Because why? And I always tell him, man, you're needy. You're just a needy dog, you know? And we just start laughing. Well, us as human beings, we are needy. We are. We need oxygen to live. We need food to live, right? We need blood flowing through our veins. We need a job to provide for our homes. I mean, we're needy creatures. And the ultimate satisfaction, okay, of need is the Lord. In other words, above all these things which are important, the number one need in our lives is that we need God in our life. We need Jesus. And he supplied that need, right? Because for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. Because before Jesus, you and I, our hearts were empty. We were dead to sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there wasn't one doctor, one lawyer, one president, one king, not one human being that could have fixed that problem. Religion cannot fix that problem. Let me tell you something. Denomination cannot fix that problem. The only one that could fix the problem of the empty hole in our heart is Jesus Christ. Because we're the ones that sin. And God supplied that need. Praise God for that. Because when the Lord, listen to me very carefully, when the Lord is your primary need, he will fill the rest of your needs. And I'm going to prove it to you scripturally. Don't lose your place in Psalms, but come to me to the book of Philippians chapter 4. The book of Philippians chapter 4, and come with me and read verse 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. This is definitely a highlighting verse that you should definitely have it in your fridge or in your personal Bible. But it says here, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory of Christ Jesus." He'll supply some of your needs, or he'll supply what? It says they're all your needs. But what's the key? The key is that God needs to be the ultimate need in your life. And that's why we need Jesus in our lives. Because with Jesus Christ, he'll supply all our needs. Do you know why? Because God is our shepherd. Not only that, but what is one of the terms or one of the names that Jesus has? Isn't Jesus also considered the good shepherd? Isn't also called the great shepherd? That's just more evidence right there that Jesus is God. Because the Bible, that goes all the way back to Psalms 23. The Lord is our shepherd. Why? Because he fulfills your need. Isn't that great that you don't have to be in want? Isn't it great that somehow, whatever financial status you find yourself in, you know, you're going to have something to eat. Somehow, he'll provide it. Because you're here. He'll provide the health that you need. He will provide. And maybe you're in need right now of other things and it hasn't come through. Do you think, is God a liar? No. Has God come through before? We just sang songs about it, that God is able. God is able. And let me tell you, if God is able to raise his son from death, what makes you think that our problems, he cannot solve it? It's just that we remember what the verse says in Philippians, according to his riches. That means according to his time. But we just got to stay faithful to him. Praise God for that. So going back to Psalms 23, if the Lord wasn't our shepherd, we'll be in want. If the Lord wasn't our shepherd, folks, we will be in dry lands and rough seas all the time. We will be in dry lands and rough seas all the time. Because it says there in verse 2, he makes to lie down in green pastures. He lights me beside the still water. If God was not our shepherd, we would not have green pastures. And what does the psalmist talk about green pastures? Because a sheep's nourishment, because here, if he's the shepherd, he's dealing with sheep. A sheep's nourishment is nice green grass. As I was driving through, going through Mount Vernon, I saw a flock of sheep on the top of the hill. And I noticed that in that section, it was very greeny. Why? Because that is ailment, that is nutrition, that is food for the sheep. And since God is our shepherd, he says that he'll take us to green pastures. Why? Because God provides the nourishment. And when we talk about the nourishment, we're talking about the physical nourishment, we're talking about the emotional nourishment, and we're talking about the most important, the spiritual nourishment needed to survive. Because this is what we need to survive. This is what we need. Like when Jesus said, I came to give life and life abundantly, John 10:10. Because God... Oh, not only that, it says there, I love what it says here, he'll make me, not only he'll provide your needs, but he'll make you lie down. Lie down. For all the human beings that I've met in this world, including myself, when a person feels tired, the one thing they want to do is lie down. You want to go to your bed and lie down and get some rest. And isn't it great to know that when a sheep, in our case us, we feel weary and tired, the great shepherd, the Lord being our shepherd, will lead you to find rest. Because man, the problems of this world can get tiresome. They really can. Bills constantly coming and coming, man, that gets tired. Criticism, after a while, man, that gets tiring. It gets discouraging. And that's why there's so many people. I believe that one of the number one killers, not just in the United States, but in the world, is stress, heart attacks, diseases, cancers, that is produced by these things. Because people are stressed out, because they can't find rest. And maybe I'm speaking to somebody here this morning that feels the same way. And if you do, my friend, I want to tell you, the Lord is your shepherd. And when the Lord is your shepherd, he'll give you rest. You know, it might not make sense to you, but I do know this. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication. And here's the part that I love. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. The peace of God. You know why you'll be able to have that peace that surpasses all understanding? Because you have the Lord as your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. And he'll lead you to rest if you feel weary. And a pasture, notice it's there that he lies down in green pasture. A pasture is a settlement or habitation. It's a settlement or a habitation. In other words, a habitation is a place of rest. Like, for example, if I tell you, hey, where is it that you find rest? Usually most people will tell me, oh, when I go home. I go home, I go to my room, I go to my place. That's your pasture. That's your place of rest. That's your place of settlement, of habitation. And you know why that's interesting? Because one of my favorite verse psalms that I apply to what we just did right now, it says there that in his presence, there is fullness of joy. When you're in God's presence, that's why I encourage you and I encourage myself. When you're having a bad day, when you feel like the storms are overtaking you, when you feel like you're angry or you're bitter or you're sad or whatever, I encourage you to do what we just did right now. Sing to God. And now we have so much resources. You get on the internet, you get on YouTube, you could get on your phone. And instead of like lingering on the problem and complaining, because that's what we like to do. I've done it too. Okay. You know what? Switch the mode and put some Christian music. Sing Oceans or sing your favorite hymn. All to Jesus I surrender. How great thou art. And start singing it to it, even though it might feel like it, but proclaim it. And you're going to see how all of a sudden, even though that problem is there, it's like if it's not there. You know why? Because you're entering in the presence of God. Because you're allowing God now to shepherd you. And when you allow God to shepherd you, he will lie you down in green pastures. You'll find rest in the midst of the problems. And green, here's another little side note. I love how it says green. Obviously, you know, grass should be green, right? If it's another color, it's where they're dying or something like that. But the reason why he emphasizes the color here, green, is that the God is trying to tell us that the pasture that he'll put us in is going to be fruitful and it's going to be nutritious. Because when you're in God's presence, he's going to feed you. He's going to feed you his word. He's going to feed you, you know, the Christ's essence in you so you can be more like Christ. And then you're going to bear fruit. You know why? And then because there's other people, they're going to be thirsty. They're going to be hungry. Like the Samaritan woman. Remember how we studied her the other week? And that she and Jesus told her, if you keep drinking from this water, you'll continue to thirst. But when you drink from my water, you'll never thirst again. And there's a lot of thirsty people out there. That's the reason why we're doing this KBC backpack thing. Because you know what? There are thirsty children out there. And we're going to use the theme of Christmas to try to feed them, not just give them a gift as a physical gift, but try to give them the gift of Jesus and give it to their families, families that are going through divorce, families that are going through financial problems, families that are having physical or verbal abuse in the family. And the only hope that they could have is Jesus Christ. But somebody has to communicate it to them. And that's the job of the church. That's our job as Christians. And that's the reason why he allows us to have this fruit so we can give it on to others. Give it unto others. Because God also, it says there, he leads me beside still waters. Oh, we just sang about oceans, right? No matter how deep the ocean is, the waves will not overcome us. Because God can provide peace through still waters. He can. He could provide peace even through the storm. Because first of all, he will lead you. He will lead you. But here's the thing. You must let him lead you. You see, you must let him lead you. And we're going to get into it a little bit later on. Because it doesn't mean when in this life, we're not going to go through storm. We're all going to go through storms. But here's the beautiful part. Like it says, he'll lead me to still waters. It reminds me of the story when Jesus was with the disciples in the boat. Remember that? And the Bible says this great storm came. And when the storm came, the disciples got scared. And the Bible says that Jesus was in the boat. And you know what Jesus was doing? I'll remind you, he was sleeping. And they woke him up. And the first thing that Jesus said to his disciples is, O ye of little faith. You know why? Because you forgot who was in the boat. And sometimes when we go through storms, whatever storms we go through, whether in our families, whether at work, whether at church, whatever circumstance we find out, sometimes we forget who's in the boat. We do. And then God says, oh, you your little faith. Don't you know that I'm with you? And you know what? God, or Jesus, has given us the name that has stamped for us that we're not alone. And it's the word Emmanuel. Because what does the word Emmanuel mean? You remember? God with us. Prophesied all the way from the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah and realized in the book of Matthew and realized today. And that's the reason why we can say wherever we go, here, outside, wherever, you're not alone. That's what we like how we sang about God is able. We're never alone. He'll never fail us because Emmanuel is with us. God is with us. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And even though we will go through a storm, doesn't mean we're not. Remember how we talked about the mountains and the valleys last week, right? We will go through a storm. But know this, that no matter what storm you go through, and it's a reminder to myself too, God is with us. He will never leave you because he'll lead you to what? Still waters. Praise God for that. Not only that, but if listen to this. If God was not your shepherd, we would have condemnation and guilt all our lives. How many people here like to feel guilty? How many people here like to feel condemned, blamed, where your sins have overtaken you? I'm not going to ask you to publicly say it, but I'm pretty sure that all of us have things in our lives that we regret. I could pretty guarantee maybe 100%. There's things that we've done or maybe a thing that we did or that we said or that we thought or whatever. And you're like, man, if I could only go back in time and fix what I did or what I said or what I thought or what I didn't do. Condemnation. And the enemy likes to thrive on that. If God was not your shepherd, we will live in condemnation and guilt. And let me tell you something. A heart that is full of shame and guilt is a poison soul. That's why we have so many people that are angry all the time, that are bitter, that are committing all these atrocities. I'm not saying that's an excuse, but most of them is because there's shame and condemnation and guilt that has built up in their heart and it hasn't been released because they haven't found their Savior. And that's why we need to communicate the love of Christ. Amen? But that's not the message. The point here, the point is that the Lord, right? It says here, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. He restores my soul. Let me tell you something about God's occupation. The Lord is your shepherd because he is an expert. God is an expert in restoration, specifically of the soul. Because the reason why he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, right, was to restore our broken relationship with God. Because the reason why we could go to heaven isn't because anyone here is good. It isn't because we're Baptist. It isn't because we're religious. It isn't because of any works that we did or do. Nothing. It's because of the grace of God. And because he loves us so much, right? For God so loved the world, he loves us so much. He wanted to restore that relationship that we broke because we're the ones that broke it. It wasn't because God did anything. God is perfect. We're the ones that broke that relationship. But look how much God loves us that he's willing to restore our souls with him. And God is in the restoration business. When I hear about people, like biblically, when I hear people like Paul, you know, we talk about the great Paul, but a lot of people forget about this great Paul was a horrible man. Paul killed Christians for a living. That's what he did. And he boasted about how religious he was, and how he grew up in the Pharisaical circle and did this and did that. And then when you read, he basically wrote half of the New Testament. And in one of them, he says, you know what? If I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about my iniquities. I count all these things that I did before as rubbish, as nothing. They're insignificant. How is it that a man can go from being the man that he was before to being totally changed? The power of restoration. Because he encountered the Lord who is his shepherd. And countless even today in 2018, People that have been in drug life, that have been lived a criminal life, that have been in gangs, that have looked like they were gonna, like they were like in a sense wicked people. And God, through the power of restoration, now they're preaching the gospel, they're starting churches, they're pastors or they're evangelists or they're doing the work of the Lord. Why? Because of the power of restoration. God has that power, and that same power, you have access to it. I have access to it. There's nothing impossible for God. God wants to use you, but you need to be like how we said, how God is able. We need to be available. We need to be available to the Lord. But part of it is because, you know what? Because one of the powers of the, that God uses of restoration is the power of forgiveness and peace with God. That's how he restores our souls. We repent and he tells, remember the woman that was, that the Pharisees were blaming because she committed adultery? And they were telling Jesus, you see that? Huh? What are you going to do? That woman just committed adultery. And they were trying to trick her because you know what the law says, Jesus? The law says that we need to stone her because you need to, because she committed adultery. And actually, biblically, you know, they don't talk about the husband. The person she committed adultery, they're supposed to stone him too. But anyways, but what did Jesus say? You're right. Bring her in front of me and gather the people and get the biggest stones. And at my signal, we're going to launch. Is that what the Bible says? No, it doesn't. You know what Jesus said? Thank you, Carolyn. He who is without sin, cast the first stone. Do you know why? Because Jesus, being God, is in the restoration business. And here's just a little rabbit's trail. It's sad to see that there's people, even among, unfortunately, even sometimes among believers, that we do the same thing. We love to cast stone at people. We would like to cast stones to our fellow brothers and sisters. We do. Because I've seen it. And it saddens me. And that's why I pray, and I hope you pray, we all pray, that we keep that unity. Because it's easy to cast the first stone. Sylvia, I didn't like how you did that thing yesterday. And Jennifer, how you lead the kids. And these deacons, my God. And then pastor, hold up. Let me get a big boulder for the pastor. Pastor. We like to cast stones. When Jesus says, he is without sin, cast the first stone. Instead of criticizing, maybe we should do what God does every day. Restore. We should be in the restoration business. You know why? Because Romans chapter 8 verse 1. You don't have to look it up because I'll tell it to you. You know what Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says? I love that verse. Anytime the enemy tries to make me feel like I'm not good, I'm not wanted, I'm not, you know, I'm guilty, I'm reminded of this verse. And the verse says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's why I always try to pay attention. And it's a tip for everyone here. I always try to pay attention to what God says has to say about me. Before you start thinking about what God, other people say about you, think about what God has to say about you. Because he's the one that has the right to condemn you. And it says that if you're in Christ Jesus, and by the grace of God, I'm in Christ Jesus, and I pray by the grace of God, you're in Christ Jesus. And if you are, the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because God is in the restoration business. Not only that, but in verse 4, it says that ye though through I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, life presents itself many paths. That's why life is full of choices. Life is full of choices, free will. And life presents many paths, and not many lead to God. I'll tell you that. Actually, there's only one that leads to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. And actually, Jesus talks about it. I want to read it to you. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14. It says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gates, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in it by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And you know why it's difficult? Because the only way that you could find it is through Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, we live in a world where people reject Jesus, and they're still trying to find a way to whether be righteous or to be pious or to seek God or seek their own God, if they want to say it like that. And there isn't. There's no other way. It's only through Christ. Because life is full of decision, just like with Christ. Christ is going to come to you, but it's your decision whether you're going to accept him or not. You're going to accept the Lord or not. And there are dark paths too. There's good paths and there's dark paths, because we just read it about right now. And dark paths obviously lead to destruction. And dark path is full of predators. Actually, in this case, wolves, because this is what David was, a shepherd. He's the one that wrote the psalm. And David was confronted. One of his duties was, of course, to guard the sheep. And he guarded against bears and lions and wolves, predators that wanted to eat the sheep. Because there's different paths, and that's why he had to make sure that he was taking them the right path. It says here, ye though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. A good shepherd leads his flock to the right path. And why? Jesus is the way. And he's the only one that can guide us to righteousness or moral standards. He's the only one. You can't do it in your strength. I can't do it in my strength. You can only do it by listening and following the great shepherd, which in this case is our Lord. But sometimes sheep do not want to go the right path. Sometimes the sheep don't want to go the right path. You know why? Remember the verse that we read a week ago about how the good shepherd, right, Jesus? There were 99 sheep, but there was one that left astray, and he went after the one astray. But they say that the one left astray, because overall they say sheep are foolish. And the sheep left on its own account. It wasn't because the good shepherd lost account. It wasn't because of that. It's because the sheep went out. Because remember, the good shepherd there is Jesus. So we're trying to say, Jesus is not a good shepherd? No, he's the great shepherd. It's because that sheep went rogue, went astray, went to follow the dark path. And there's some sheep that do that, regardless of what they in the truth. They wanna follow whether it's living in the flesh, whether it's, you know, rejecting the conviction. Like, for example, if God is telling you, hey, listen, I need to go there and forgive my brother, go up to them and reconcile, and you're like, whether pride or you say, oh, but you know what that person did to me, and you reject it. Well, guess what? You're in disobedience with God. And you know what you're doing? You're leading yourself astray from the flock. You're leading yourself astray from the great shepherd. And you're going rogue. Because a life of unforgiveness is a path of death and destruction. Because when it says there, don't go to the valley of shadow of death. People, when they read this verse, they actually interpret it literally. You can, but it's not really interpreted literally. He's using this analogy to tell us that first of all, all of us are going to face the valley. We all will. Valley means the storm, because a valley is the low area of a mountain. I'm pretty sure all of us know that, right? That we live in a very mountainous region. It's the lowest point. Notice that. So it says that when it says about the valley of death, it means the lowest point in our lives. And when do we reach the lowest point of our lives? Well, usually we reach the lowest point of our lives when we have problems, when we have afflictions, when we're going through sufferings, when they come into our lives, and then they reach us at our low. We're at our lowest point. We're depressed, we're bitter, we're angry, we're sad, whatever. And shadow of death means the darkest point. That's what it means. That's why he's using the illustration, the darkest point in our lives. But the great shepherd, the Lord, gives us three tips when we go into this. So if you're going through this right now, he gives us three tips. Number one, we don't have to fear. And it's our tendency for us as human beings to fear when we go through the valley, especially when it's the valley of the shadow, that when it's the darkest and lowest point of our lives. Fear comes in, but God tells us not to fear. Do you know why? Because God is light. And since God is light, he overcomes darkness and death. Because in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, you can write it down, but I'm going to read it to you. But 1 John, that's all the way almost to the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says here, look what it says. But also, oh no, I'm in Peter, sorry. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, once I get there, because my pages are stuck. It says here, I love this verse. It says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In him, God is what? Light. And that's why we need to habitate in the light, so that when darkness comes in, it illuminates the darkness. Because you know when sin creeps into our lives? In the dark. You know when people do hideous things? You know when they usually do it? In the dark. You know when we want to act in the flesh? You know when that happens? We're in the dark. Not here. God forbid we do any of our personal sins here at church. We wouldn't do it. Why? Because we're in the light. We're in front of other lights, because the Bible says we are the salt and light of the earth. But when is it? When it happens? When we're alone. when it's dark. And that's what the Bible says, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness. And that's why we should fear no evil. Why? Because God is light. Not only that, but it says there, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, when you're going through the valley, understand again, look how twice he tells us, he's with you. He's reminding us again, God is with us. You know, Emmanuel, he is with us. He is with us. We're not alone. And third, it says here, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A rod and staff was a shepherd's main weapon of defense to keep their flock safe. That's why he puts it there. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why? Because it kept them safe from the predators, from the darkness that try to reach in. And what are the rods and the staff? It's God's word. God gives us weapons of warfare to defend and protect ourselves against the enemy. Because in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, though I know some of us might know this verse, but in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, I love what it says here. It says here in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13, it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And then it goes on the list of resources that God gives us. God has given us an armor. You know what the problem with believers is? Is that they don't know how to use it. That's the problem. Because see, when one is going to enlist in the army or navy or marines, whatever it is, before they put them on the battlefield, they got to take them to boot camp. And you know what? I'm going to shout out a little bit here, Sunday school. That's what Sunday school is all about. Sunday school is about training believers to get for boot camp, so that when they go onto the battlefield of work, when they go onto the battlefield of society, when they go onto the battlefield of their homes, when they go onto the battlefield of schools, you are armed and knowing how to use your weapon, so that when the enemy comes out there to come blast against you, you know how to use it. Because it is shameful when you have a soldier that's standing post at his base, and when the enemy comes, doesn't know how to shoot his rifle. You won't hear that, would you? It's no, because before they put them on the battlefield, you got to train them. I personally believe why that verse says the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. You know why we have few workers? Because the workers are not trained. And that's where we all need to get trained. That's where we all need to learn how to share our faith. We all need to know how to go against the spiritual warfare. We all need to learn how to be effective prayer warriors. We all need to learn how to be effective missionaries and go out. Because God has called us, because we're in a battlefield. Because it says there, his rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then it says here, getting close to finishing up, verse 5, it says, actually, verse 5 and 6, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If God wasn't your shepherd, we all will be lonely and forsaken. I haven't met one person yet, and if they are, I personally believe they're lying, that likes to be lonely, that likes to be forsaken. Remember, we are creatures of need, and one of our needs that we have is the need to be loved. It's the need to be accepted. It is. That's why we're so comforted that God is love, because God loves us and we're accepted no matter what other people say. But that's why God encourages the great commandment, right? Remember, he told Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Remember what he said? Love God with everything, right? All your heart, soul, and mind. But then it doesn't stop there, right? Then it says what? Love your neighbor. Why? Because we are creatures of need. You know, we need love. We need to be accepted. And God puts us to love on our brother and love on our sister and love on even those who are in the world to share the love of Christ. Because imagine this. If God wasn't our shepherd, we would really be lonely and forsaken. What a horrible feeling. Can you imagine living? I want you to picture this just for like 10 seconds. Imagine living this world without God. It's horrible. What hope will we have? But the tears that when pain comes, but isn't it great to know that God is with us? We're not lonely or forsaken. But it says here that he'll prepare a table before the enemies. He'll prepare a table in the presence of his enemies. You know, that's very comforting to know, because unfortunately, we do live in an unfair world. And there are unfair people, which we pray for. And there are evil people. There are. And it's unfortunate. And we pray for them as well. But be comforted in this. And I am comforted in this. Since the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, right? God will do justice. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. I'm comforted every single time of this. It says here, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink, for so doing you will reap coals of fire in the head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Why? Because vengeance is the Lord. And eventually, the Bible says that if somebody comes against the children of God, it is better for that person to get a rope, tie it around their neck, tie it to a millstone, and throw it in the pond. It's better for that person to do that. And it comforts me to know that, you know what? Even though there might be lions out there that want to devour me, even though there's bears there that want to terrorize me, even though there's out there folks or whatever that just want to put me down or this and that, I say, hey, you know what? I pray for them. God bless you. But understand this. My dad will defend me because vengeance is the Lord. And it's, to be honest, it's better for you to deal with me than to deal with my dad. You know, I just say it like that. So those who feel oppressed, those who feel like you're like being hounded for whatever it is, you know what? It's okay. God's got your back. You just stay faithful to God. You stay faithful to the Lord because vengeance is the Lord. And it says there, God says that the haters in our lives will be humbled in our sight, because it says here, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's right. You're going to be sitting in that table, dining with the Lord, and they're going to be there. And they're going to be humbled, because God is good at humbling people. That's why the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, because he anoints you with oil. You anoint my head with oil. And that's very simple. It's figuratively used there. It's talking about overflowing of blessings. You know, when they would anoint a king, Israel, they'll anoint it through the oil and spread it throughout his whole body. And it's what it symbolizes when they anoint the king, like David, when they anoint him, the oil signifies, since he was king, that means that the blessing wasn't just going to be poured out on David, but it was going to be poured out on the kingdom. That means that everyone under his leadership was going to be blessed. That's what that means there. Okay, and so the Bible says that he's going to anoint you with oil. That means not only is he going to bless you, but those who are under you are going to be blessed as well, because you're going to be like Jacob. Everything that Jacob touched was blessed because God blessed him. And understand that. And then the last point says here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mercy and goodness will follow you forever. This is not just a heavenly verse, because it says here, those who dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And usually we apply it to heaven. And you can. You can. And we look forward to the day of heaven. But you know what? Mercy and goodness, there you could apply it, what I call in the present active. Means that right now, today, as we go home, as you live your days until Jesus comes. It's not just, okay, when we get to heaven, then, you know, mercy and goodness shall follow me. No, mercy and goodness follows you today. Mercy and goodness will follow you when you go have lunch this afternoon. Mercy and goodness will follow you when we come tonight to have our fellowship time movie night. Mercy and goodness will follow you tomorrow when you go to work. All the days of your life. And it will follow us when we get to heaven. But I want you to think about this. If God was not your shepherd, would mercy and goodness follow you all the days? If God was not your shepherd, what hope would you have when you go through the valley of shadow of death at the lowest point of your life? If God was not your shepherd, you know, you'll have condemnation and guilt all your life. If God was not your shepherd, you'll be living in dry lands and rough seas every single time. If God was not your shepherd, you would be in want. God, the Lord is my shepherd. We should praise God that God is our shepherd. So at this time, I'd like us to stand as we get ready to close our service in reverence to the Lord. And I'm going to ask our congregation to please be in a spirit of prayer. So I want you to close your eyes where you're at. And I would like you to pray. Pray to the Lord. Ask God to speak to your heart at this time. To reflect on the word that was preached today from his holy word in Psalms 23. And I want you to ask yourself a question. Do you feel like you're in a valley right now? Do you feel like you're in a valley right now? Or do you feel like you're in rough seas where the waves are just crashing and you think you're going to drown and go down? Is that you? Do you need restoration possibly in your lives or in your hearts? You're like, God, you know, my whether my heart's not right or there's these issues, whatever it is, you know, or you need healing, not just physical healing, but maybe you need healing in your soul and in your mind or in your heart or spiritually. Or is sin trying to overtake your life somehow, whether it's lack of faith, whether it's a personal sin that nobody knows, but it's bringing you shame and guilt, and you're trying to overcome it, but you can't because you're trying to do it in your own strength. And God is trying to tell you, hey, listen, I know what's going on, but you need to understand I'm your shepherd. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. I'm getting tired of seeing you go astray. I'm starting to see that you're not lying down in green pasture. I know you're tired. You're tired of doing the same thing over and over again. But I want you to lie down in green pastures. I have blessings. I want to anoint you with oil. There's some here that need to be anointed spiritually with oil so the blessings could flow down. And if that's you, and you need prayer, and with eyes closed and heads bowed down, but would you lift your hand where you're at, because we'd like to pray for you. Does anybody here says, God, I need you to be my shepherd. God bless you. Is there anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Is there anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. And just in case, if there's anybody here that says, you know what? I really don't know the great shepherd. I've heard about the great shepherd, but I don't know him. And you want to know him because you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I can't look through the hearts of man, but God can. But God wants to tell you, my brother or my sister, that God loves you. And he doesn't want to leave you there forsaken. But you need to identify him as your shepherd by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to make Jesus not just the Lord of your life, but the shepherd of your life, then I'm going to encourage you to say this prayer with me, where it says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. And if you haven't, I encourage you to do this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. And I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord, my Savior, and my Shepherd, forgiving me of my sins, forgiving me of my shame and my guilt and my condemnation, casting all my fears and my problems to you, knowing that right now I am written in the book of life and no one can take that away. Lord, I accept you as my Savior and Shepherd in Jesus' name. But with eyes closed and heads bowed down, but if there's anybody here that accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and made him your shepherd, can you please raise your hand? It's okay. It doesn't matter where you're at, you know, where you find yourself. We just want to love and pray for you. Is there anybody here? Heavenly Father, as we close our service, we'll never close from your presence, and we thank you for that. And Lord God, we want to thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word today and how you ministered to us and how we learned today, God, how you are our shepherd. And Father, we don't even want to think about what would it be if you were not our shepherd. Lord, our lives would be chaotic. Our lives would be lonely. Our lives would be full of fear. Our lives would be tiresome, God. We would not find any rest. Our lives would be without hope, God, because we do go through valleys, God. But we praise you that you are light. And in you there's no darkness, and you lead us to righteousness. We thank you, God, that you are the shepherd that is willing to go out to that one sheep that is lost. Because, Father, we were all lost, but now we're found because you went out for us. We thank you, God, that you are a God of restoration. And I know that there's folks here that need restoration, God. They have declared it by acknowledging you, by raising their hands, God. And we pray, Lord, we pray for all of us, God, that you help us, Lord God, to acknowledge that you are our shepherd and that you comfort us in a time of need. And whatever difficult circumstance that we're going through, whatever valley that we are in front of with, God, though it might look like death, Lord, we have nothing to fear, for you are with us. So Father, I pray that you give us jolts of encouragement and love and of your presence, God, knowing that you are the great shepherd, Lord, and you'll lead us to righteousness. And Father, I pray that you help us to, that we could be led by you, that we're willing to be led, that we're not rebellious in our ways or we want to go how we want to, God, because we know that our plans are not your plans. But I pray that you help us to submit to you and to trust you. Sometimes, God, we're going to be in situations in the valley where, yes, fear will come in and we want to take our own action, but teach us to surrender. Lord, we want to thank you, God, for your presence in this place. Thank you for this wonderful service. Thank you, God, that as we go now out of the doors of the sanctuary, the shepherd goes with us. Lead us in everything that we do and bring us back tonight to have a great time of fellowship, to acknowledge you, Lord, as our shepherd, and to have camaraderie and just and have a blessed day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.